Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Hashira Half Hour. We are back this week with some more Chainsaw Man for you.
What's up, everyone? I was just trying to think of a funny little intro, and I couldn't think of one. So, hi, I'm here, and I'm ready to talk about some more Chainsaw Man.
Hello, it's me. You called recently, but I'm sorry I haven't responded. But I want to let you know I'm here, I'm queer, so deal with it. And I thank you. Mic drop.
All right. I love that part of Chainsaw Man. Boom, there it is. All right. Well, we've got a lot to cover. As you probably noticed in last week's installment, we are going to do two episodes at a time because A, this show's been out for a little while. B, we've got Demon Slayer coming up in about a month, which is really, really exciting. But we want to make sure that we give MAPPA and Chainsaw Man its dues, because it's an incredible show, so we're going to be discussing episodes 3 and 4 of the first season today, and we can just go ahead and dive right in. So, last week, in episode 2, we got introduced to Power, who is a really fun character, and we open this episode back up with Power and Denji bickering back and forth like little kids, honestly. Makima tells them that she would like to see them behave. I thought that her phrasing here was really interesting, that she wants to see something, not necessarily that she wants them act right or like, you guys better knock it off kind of thing. I don't know. The way that she said it was interesting to me, and that it cut to a shot of her interesting eyes that we've talked about. So what do you think she's hoping to see happen here exactly?
I think right here, she's wanting them to project the image of getting along. But not, she doesn't really care at the end of the day, because like, it's like your coworkers, right? And I think this applies to the real world. I think there's a little bit of like corporate like scaffolding in Chainsaw Man, if you will, because you have to work with other people to be a devil hunter. You know, it's not a solo job here. And so she really, at the end of the day, doesn't care. Just like your boss really doesn't care if you get along with the people you sit next to. It's more so, can you work with them on a day-to-day basis, and can you get the job done? And I think that's what she's really wanting, is she wants to see them get the job done. That's really what I think she's hoping for. Do I think she actually cares about them as, like, employees? Most bosses probably don't. So I'm going to go with a no on that.
Well, I mean, we've already established that, like, Denji and Power are experiments, so I don't think she really cares either way if they behave. I think she just wants it to look at least somewhat good to the powers above her so that, you know, she can continue to do what she's doing. Interestingly enough, and I don't know if this is just interesting or if this is me flexing the fact that I heard her say something and I knew exactly what she said without reading the subtitles, but she said, "Shizuka dekiru," which means quiet. Can you do that? Not like, hey, be quiet, like, shut up, anything like that. It was very, like, calm, like a mom talking to her children in a sense of, like, not like a super intense, like, hardcore parent, but like a, what do they call it?
Gentle parenting?
Gentle parenting, yeah. Like a gentle parent, just like, quiet, can you do that? And I think it just shows her character a little bit more of like, who is this chick and what is she up to? Because she's very mysterious and she continues to be that way with the way she treats them. Because they're like little children. They're just like bickering like brother and sister.
Totally. But it's interesting because I don't think that, like, I don't know if we've fully confirmed, like, Power's exact age. We learn, of course, that she was, like, the Blood Devil before she became this fiend. So I don't know exactly how old she is, but her physical presentation looks to be about the same age as Denji. And Makima looks to be about the same age as both of them. So it's interesting that she's able to be so much more mature, obviously an extraordinarily different upbringing and, like, circumstances, I imagine, would have surrounded her life. But she is very mature for her age, and she is mysterious. And again, I just don't really like the vibes, even though we haven't exactly been given a reason why we should think that yet. But she's like unsettling to me, even more than Power. Power, like I said last episode, already reminds me of Denji, even though it's like, I think people are very split on Power. They're like, she's either super annoying or I love her so much. And it's interesting because, like, do we feel the same way about Denji? Do as many people think Denji's annoying? Maybe. Maybe. I feel like I haven't heard that sentiment as much, but Makima seems very patient with both of them. So we'll see more of that, but shortly after this exchange, we see Power and Denji alone together, and they get to talking about one another's goals. So again, I think that they're pretty similar. We learn that Power is just trying to find and rescue her old cat, Meowie. And Denji hears this and kind of scoffs at her, and he's like, well, that's dumb. Although I would understand if it was a dog, which I thought was really funny. He's just like me for real. Sorry. Sorry, cat lovers. I do like cats. I'm just very allergic. I would like them more if that wasn't the case. But we obviously know he has an attachment to a dog that we've already seen. But he's like, that's a dumb goal. Like, that's so simple. She's like, all right, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, what I want to do is so noble and mature. I want to fondle some yeebies. And as immature as Power is, she's like, that's interesting. You humans are so interesting. If you help me find my cat, I have something to offer in exchange. What do you guys think of this?
Hey, she's smart, you know, from when we met her to now, it was like, is she just like this wild devil fiend that just is kind of jumping around, doing things, only wants blood? And I will admit, I think I felt this way the first time, and I thought it briefly again the second time when that cat popped up, like, while they were at the vending machines, I was like, oh no. And then I was like, okay, wait, that's right. She likes cats. She just like me for real. I'm sorry to tell you dog people, but I'm a cat person. I love both my cat and my dog.
It's all about balance.
It's all about balance. Yeah, she's smart. She is instantly able to figure out like some way that they can both get what they want. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, here in a moment. And it's a great way to get him to follow her plan of whatever she's got up her sleeve. Because he clearly... you offer something like that, he's gonna do it.
This is interesting for Denji, I think, because Denji is, he says he'd understand if it's like a dog or something like that, but I think to a certain extent he is kind of like a dog himself, and I think life imitates art here, because he's really just following around the treats, if you will. He's just trying to chase after whatever's in front of him. So I think it's really interesting that like he's kind of just going after whatever's like right in front of him and like right next to him. It's not like he has very far-sighted goals, which I think is very like contrasting to the other MCs we've seen who have these big goals. And so I think it's really different from like what is out there. And I think this exchange kind of just highlights what's really different about Denji.
I don't know if there's ever been another main character where it's been more true that he's got that dog in him, so.
I'm done.
Wah, wah.
That's funny.
But that is a good point. It is interesting that he literally does, but he's already been called a dog multiple times. Unrelated? Makima might know more than we think, but to some degree I do think it, like, is unrelated. Just an interesting coincidence, so. We'll have to see, but you're right, the power is absolutely reading him, and even if she's kind of simple in a similar way, she still has a good read of the situation and how to take advantage of it. So we'll get back to Power and Denji and the offer that's now on the table, but we cut away for a moment and we see Makima in a dark room in front of like a conference table of what we can assume are probably some leaders of this organization that she works for. And she's delivering a report about the two new recruits being Denji and Power. We don't know much about who those people are. And then it cuts away pretty quickly again to Aki driving her away, presumably from that meeting. And he asks her what she really sees in Denji. And she says something really interesting. She says, all devils are born with names. The more those are feared, the more powerful they are likely to become. Do you think that there is a deeper truth in what she's saying? She gives like a couple specific examples of like, for example, a coffee devil wouldn't be that frightening, but Denji's a chainsaw. Like, so is there something deeper to that than just the surface level of like the sharper or more dangerous the object? the more dangerous the devil associate it would be. Aki, I think, is not sure when she's posing this thought. He thinks that Denji's still just a kid, but I don't know. Do you think that there's more to what she's saying?
Yeah, I think this kind of touches on, like, mass hysteria to a certain extent. Like, if you can incite fear in something, there's power behind, like, there's power in fear itself. And I think it kind of relates to, like, a larger quote, like, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And so, like, this deeper truth that she's touching at is the, like, sense of how an object can be posed to create fear. So, like, the chainsaw itself is not just a chainsaw, but it's an object and a culmination of what fear can mean for a lot of people. And I think that's what she's really trying to poke at.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of how cursed energy or curses become a thing in JJK, because they feed off of, you know, the negative feelings of the people. And I feel like there is a bit of a deeper truth where she's saying that, like, pretty much exactly what Brian said. I'm not gonna try and reword it because he worded it so well, but I also think there is a little bit just on the surface here in saying that, yes, simply put, a car devil would be more dangerous than a coffee devil, because if the devil is based off of whatever it is they're the devil of course a weapon or a car is way more dangerous than coffee. It's a very just like straightforward way of thinking. But also Denji mentioning that, or Aki mentioning that Denji is a kid still, leads me to believe that he needs more time for people to kind of see him and maybe be scared of him, or not be scared of him, to see that he's saving people. So maybe like a double-sided coin here.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, yeah, but I'd be kind of scared of a coffee devil. Like, if it's that McDonald's coffee, like, you're gonna burn yourself.
Listen, all I'm gonna say is McDonald's was the villain in that case.
McDonald's is always the villain.
That's true. That's true. Now I'm thinking about the Grimace Shake. But Grimace Shake aside, I do think that Makima knows what she's talking about. And it's an interesting dialogue between her and Aki here. And we're going to learn some more, I think, about some of these different tiers of devils. And not only how powerful they are, but what maybe they represent to the larger populace. So looking forward to that. We're very slowly getting teased, like, these tidbits of the power structure that exists in this world. And I think it's really interesting. But we have to go back to Power and Denji now, because Denji is obviously completely down immediately for whatever Power wants to do for any chance to cop a feel. So she has brought him to an abandoned old house, and then she turns the tables on him, and she knocks him out using her blood powers. And then she offers him up to the Bat Devil who's inside this abandoned house, and he kind of like stretches and, for lack of a better word, kind of breaks Denji to like eat some of his blood or consume some of his blood. And he does that. He calls it disgusting. It helps him to regenerate from an injury that he had. But because it was so gross, he's like, I have to get that taste out of my mouth. I'm going to go look for some more humans to consume. But before he can do that, Power asks about her cat, because that's the reason that they're there. And he's like, oh yeah, I did say I would do that, huh? Well, thanks for nothing, because that guy tasted nasty. And then he eats the cat in front of her.
I hated that. I hated that. There's something about, like, watching a character lose their pet in front of them. And I'm like, nope. Absolutely not.
I mean, at least it wasn't right in front of her salad. I mean, what else could have been worse?
You think a Power would eat a salad?
No, she would not. She canonically would not.
She's probably more likely to eat a cat, but that's not what happened here. So,
you know what they say, karma is a cat.
What? Is that what they say, or is that what Taylor Swift says?
Oh my god, the read!
Taylor Swift probably wouldn't have liked this. Sorry, Taylor Swift. You wouldn't like this episode of Chainsaw Man.
Aww.
But also just imagining Taylor Swift watching Chainsaw Man is kind of incredible. Anyway.
You never know.
You never know. You never know. We don't love the cat getting eaten. Even if I'm not the biggest fan of cats in the world, I still felt really bad for Power in this moment, which is interesting because, again, she had also just turned on Denji, who we probably should like the most so far. He's our main character, and I don't dislike him. And I don't dislike her, and I feel bad for her, because even if she turned on him, it's clear that, like, she has something that she cares about, and she was trying to save them in this moment. So you can't really blame her for trying. And we get a flashback in this moment to Power and Meowee meeting each other. And it kind of reminds me a bit of the scenes with Pochta and Denji. What did you guys think was similar or different about this?
I think it was really similar in the sense that, like, they kind of saved each other. And it's like that ridiculous, I cannot believe I'm quoting this right now, but it's like that stupid car sticker that, like, that says who saved who. And it's like for pets adoptions and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's so cheesy, but it's also very true. Like, who saved who at that point? Like, they're both filling in something inside of each other. Not physically, of course, but, like, because in this instance, like, you know, Meowee's not providing, you know, Power the blood that she needs. But realistically, she is, like, getting the emotional support animal that she needs. And I think that's what's important for Power right now.
Yeah, I saw a lot of similarities. I felt like it was very much the same thing, just flipped with, you know, Denji finding Pochta when Pochta was the devil and Denji was the human. But this is reversed. Meowee is a normal cat and Power's the devil. Both Denji and Power were very alone when they found this little friend of theirs. And both of them, it was like, for Pochta and for Power, they were like kind of looking for food, and then they ended up becoming friends instead. And I think they were very similar, and I think that's going to be a way that these two can connect in the future, maybe. Obviously, they've gotten off on a pretty bad foot, considering Power very much took his desires and used it against him to trick him into doing this. But definitely an opportunity for them to connect in the future, maybe.
I think so, too. I think that this showed us a little bit more humanity in Power's character, which is interesting, knowing that she's a devil, obviously, or a fiend now. She's, like, devastated after this loss, and I thought that what came next was kind of similar, too, in that, obviously, in the moment when the full contract happened with Pochta and Denji, Denji was not being consumed exactly, but was dying, in a sense. This is almost reversed, where, again, the pet seemingly has perished, and Power's, like, willing to give up in that moment. And so she actually gets consumed also by the bat demon here. This is not great, even though Denji has not gotten along well with her at this point, and we shouldn't feel bad. Like, I don't know, I did feel bad. I wasn't expecting to see a main character die immediately again, but fortunately, that's not what's going to happen today, because Denji does have a very clear goal that we've just established. And so no one except for him is allowed to touch his titties. Even though he says this, he thinks of Pochta also in this moment. And he thinks of how sad he feels for Power. And so again, even though we're talking about his immediate goal, I think that we come back to the point that, like, he really is seeking a deeper connection. And as a result of his anger or his seeming sense of, like, ownership over this situation, here comes Chainsaw Man. So let's talk about this sequence with Chainsaw Man fighting the bat. I think that this was absolutely insane again.
Absolutely. I can't really say much outside of this fight scene, really. Episode one definitely already set the tone with what the fight scenes were going to be like, and this fight scene very much held true to what the tone was set for. And it's very, like, yes, it's gory. Yes, it's a very, like, well animated fight, well choreographed, very interesting, but it's also just very wild. Like, there's no stops. It's just, you can tell the creator of Chainsaw Man wanted to be very unique, and they do it extremely well. It's just, there's a lot of similarities within this fight scene to a lot of other animes. You know, like, we've got a big monster bad, smaller guy good, but smaller guy is also a monster, and that's where it kind of starts to change. And to see him just go ham and I just laugh at his goal. The whole reason he wants to save Power is because he's like, don't take away my titties. Like, what? It's such a, like, it's like whiplash for me watching all these other shonens where all of these main characters have these like beautiful goals to save humanity, save their sister, become the number one hero, and then Denji's like, I'm gonna save this person so I can touch their boobs. I'm sorry. This was the first time I was watching this, I was like, what is this?
You should see some of the panels that they have released recently for Chainsaw Man. They have been unhinged.
Oh. That's the word I was looking for. Unhinged. It's a very unhinged fight.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I don't know. I just think it's so funny. You already put it really well, Hannah, but like, it totally turns shonen like beliefs on its head. But at the same time, like, the buildup is similar. It's like, we're building up, it's this, like, awesome fight, and he is standing up for something he believes in, we're expecting one thing, and then it's like, yeah, I just did all this, I just created all this carnage to touch some boobs.
Hey, boobs are important. Going back to, you know, high school, My Chemical Romance era of life, save the tatas, if you will. You remember those bracelets?
I do remember. I do remember the bracelets. Mm-hmm. I was going to try to be funny and be like, I do remember the My Chemical Romance song about Save the Tatas as well.
Oh!
My favorite. Welcome to the Tata Parade? Something like
oh.
that. Oh! Oh, forgive me, Gerard Way. Forgive me. It is just so goofy because it's like one of the last things you would expect, but at the same time, it's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, it's not even a question for this man. So it's really fun to see shonen turned on its head a little bit, and yet in doing so become like the most shonen thing of all time. So we love to see it. Yeah, I don't know. I think my favorite moment in this fight was where the bat like flings the guy in the car, and it's giving like actual Batman. It's giving like, we saved the city and the city is destroyed, and this guy's like in the car that the bat throws, and Denji catches it, and the bat's like, you're gonna use your energy to save this human, and he does catch it, and he's like, I don't give a shit about him, and then he throws the car, and I just thought that was, again, like turning shonen on its head. Like, you almost expect him to put it down nicely. He's like, I just wanted to throw it back at you. And the poor guy in the car, he's like, ah. He's like, good thing I have a full life insurance policy.
Oh, no.
So crazy. Rest in peace to that guy. Yeah. Yeah, very gruesome, gory fight. And I think that it's reflected pretty nicely in this ending sequence that we got to see. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the ending sequences since Chainsaw Man handles this in such a cool way. Each episode has its own. So for episode 3, the sequence is like very old school science fiction-y, like some of those very like 60s old horror movie poster colors of like The Thing or like the creature from the Black Lagoon or whatever, things like that, like old horror films. There's like zombies, the metal song is kind of crazy, and I just felt like it really suited the episode that it followed.
Oh, I thought like after the fight with the Bat Devil, that made perfect sense. I thought like the Bat Devil is something that comes out of like one of those 60s horror movies, just the way his character is designed too. Like, he's like a giant monster that like lives in the dark and stuff. So I felt like this ending was perfect and really suited for it. I did like the color choice a lot as well. It felt like a little bit more muted than what we're used to seeing in like the show and stuff. So it was a really cool contrast as well.
I didn't watch it.
Hannah.
I'm sorry. I was watching these two episodes on my lunch, so I was like short on time, and I forgot that they change it every time, so I didn't watch it. Sumimasen.
Rippeth. Next week's Devil Secret will be.
I'll go back and watch all of them.
No, they're really cool, though. I do think it might be interesting to talk. Once we get through all 12 episodes, maybe we can talk about what we feel those all add up to together. But we can move on because we have to cover episode 4 today as well. So as we move into that, we see a dream sequence where Power is like reflecting on everything that's happened. And then she wakes up because Denji has now pulled her out of the massacred Bat Devil's carcass. And she asks him, like, why would you do this for me? And he is very honest here in telling her. He doesn't even say anything. He gives us some incredible sign language, indicating what he wants, which is, again, her knockers. And she feels badly in this moment that she tricked him. And so she actually gives him consent to do his thing. And just when he thinks that he's finally going to get to touch him, the leech devil appears. And I just think that these designs for the devils are so wild. I really, really don't like this one. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. But this is another wild fight sequence. So let's just talk about that. I feel like my boy Denji can't catch a break, and he's low on blood, which means he can only kind of make a chainsaw now.
Man, Denji really can't catch a break. His goal of all the shonen, you know, shonen MCs is so simple compared to all of them. Like, that is a very easy task to do when you think about it compared to, like, a lot of the other shonens. And yet, he can't do it. And then when he finally is about to, his arm gets blown off. I was like, what? Oh, man. And yeah, this leech devil, not my favorite thing on the planet to see. Very ugly, very creepy. If I saw that in real life, I would not be staying in the same area. I would be running the other direction like Zenitsu. Ah! But Denji's trying his best, but he's low on blood, so he can't really transform. He's got a little baby chainsaw in his head. He's trying so hard just so he can touch some boobs.
That baby chainsaw is like me struggling through the work week. It's just like dangling on there.
Relatable.
Oh, it's too funny. But yeah, this one was tough because it's like, it's only a 12 episode season, so there has to be the twists and turns early on. And this one really gave it to me really well, because like, you got to have these flip moments where like, you think you're winning, but you're not. And so I felt like this was a really good way to kind of pull the rug from the audience. And I really liked this moment. I thought the Leech Devil was not as cool as the Bat Devil. Though I will say the Bat Devil, I think so far, or like design wise, I think it has the coolest design. I just like big monsters and kaijus, but in comparison to the Leech Devil, I don't think it's my... I kind of agree with Emily. It was a little creepy for me.
Yeah. And the dialogue was interesting, too. She's like, you know... And I'm projecting now that the Leech Devil is a she. So under the assumption that this thing identifies as a female, she was like, that was my man that you killed. And I'm like, this is weird. And like, the design was like, I know it's a leech, but I'm like, somehow it still felt like it was like sexualized because it had like breasts or like udders. And I'm like, there's something like really unsettling about the design of this in general. And it came out of nowhere. Like, there was like no indication that there was another devil anywhere nearby, or that there had been like any scheming between the leech and the bat, so it definitely surprised me the first time I saw it, and I still hate it. Still hate how it looks. Yeah, so this is a crazy fight, several limbs going, both from Denji and from the leech, and Power is just laying powerless, ironically. She's watching this fight unfold, and she's just bewildered that he's willing to go to such crazy lengths to achieve his dream of copping a feel. And even Denji says here, like, is like, you have this dream, leech demon, of eating all of humanity. I have a dream to touch some boobs. Let's see whose dream is stronger. It kind of looks like it might be Denji's. What do you think of his pursuit of this dream?
This scene is actually what turned the show around for me. This is where I actually like fell in love with the show, because I was like, okay, like, he's like making himself somewhat serious, like. And I think that's what really caught on for me, is like, okay, like, this is actually someone's dream, and then it is respectable for like something so simple. Like, at first, like, when you look at it, yeah, it's just that he wants to touch some boobs, but also like, his life's been so shitty that like, that's what's going to make him happy. And I think that that's really respectable to a certain extent. So I'm really like pleased that I continued the show, because like, me and my husband were like watching the show, and I'm like, this is the last episode. If this doesn't turn around somehow, I'm not doing this. And it did it. It turned it around for me. So this was the dream battle was really where it went through, because he's like comparing himself to others, and like he stood up for himself and his beliefs against like a very powerful entity. So I really liked this.
Yeah, as much as like I make fun of Denji's goals, it's supposed to remind us that like Denji's always been alone, and his goal is so small compared to so many other heroic shonen MCs, but he's not supposed to be that heroic. He's supposed to be just a boy who like he died and he got a second chance through his only companion in life, and now he gets to live like a better life because of it. He's not trying to take things seriously. He's not trying to save humanity. He just wants what he wants. And that's like, that's relatable in a way. Like, obviously I don't have the same goals, but like I can understand having such a small goal like that, just to get through each day of work is essentially what he's doing. That being said, it was an interesting contrast between his goal that feels so small and then the Leech Devil's like, our goal, our dream was to destroy all of humanity. It's like, okay, we're getting a bit extreme there, honey.
Yeah, that plan did not come to fruition the way that I think that they were hoping. At the same time, Denji's dream, while strong, is facing some big challenges here at the moment too, because the fight I thought was looking like it was going pretty well for him, even with just the small chainsaw. He was landing several blows on this leech. He was getting pretty clever, like trying to trip them and tie them up with the organs of their dead lover, which is kind of insane. And it looks like things are going well, but then he goes for like the throat of this leech monster. And I don't know about you guys, but the way it was drawn, I thought that maybe he landed a fatal blow, but then it turns out, like, we pan out and she's actually sticking like her whole leech tongue like through his body. So we've got our first donut of the show. I'm sorry. Oh no. Oh no, it's not looking good.
Someone mute Emily. Take her microphone away from her. It's okay, because I was going to say the exact same joke. Anyway, I agree. I was thinking that he had landed a good blow because they showed like the blood coming out and it was all like heroic. And then they zoomed out and it was like, oh, he got Rengoku'd. Okay, cool. Lucky for him, he is not as mortal as Rengoku, though.
There's a Chainsaw Man. This is not a spoiler, but the tongue made me think of this Chainsaw Man spoiler, or Chainsaw Man, not spoiler, Chainsaw Man panel later, where he's like, I'll tongue your butthole for a week. And I was like, oh, so.
What?
Tongues are important in this show, I guess.
I'm glad he's evolving his goals.
That's all I got for that one. I don't know where I was going with that either, so.
Absolutely incredible. Well, fortunately, his status is still alive for now, but it's not looking good. Not looking good for Denji. But then we get to see it all of a sudden. Aki appears, we see Kone for the first time, and he gets to help save them. In this moment, we also get a sneak peek of the rest of the crew, which is really exciting.
Really interesting way to finally kind of show off Aki's power. He's been a bit of a mystery. He has a katana, but haven't seen him fight, really. So definitely interesting to see and then learn, you know, about the... Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But interesting to see him using a devil themselves to kill another devil. I was like, what? What? And also the team, very excited to see more of them as well. Good introduction. Very big moment. He's just like, Kone. Ah, that was really good. Best part of the show so far.
Agreed. I think that this was a really big twist, because not only, like Hannah mentioned, it was a devil fighting a devil, but you're like kind of looking at it. It was also a really cool shot too. Denji's like hanging out on the end of the tongue and he's like, you know, dangling on there. And then all of a sudden you pan even further out and then you get like this shot of like the fingers and then it's just like the fox devil coming out of nowhere. Like, that was just such a cool shot. I think that that was really well, like, cinematized. I don't know if that's a word, but we're gonna roll with it.
Chainsaw Man is so cinematic, mm-hmm. and I feel like we probably could have guessed or assumed that based on the incredible intro that they put together and how clearly it was inspired by so many classic works of cinema, but it really is, I've said it once, I'll say it again, it's MAPPA at their best, at least visually. There's a lot of really fun nods and a lot of interesting directorial and like cinematography choices that are made. Because even though it's animated, both of those people are still members of the crew that are very important. There is still cinematography, there's still lighting, there's still all these different design elements that get put into every episode, and they all went hard on this show. So absolutely worth calling out moments like that. And I agree, it was completely beautiful. And it is the first time we're seeing the Fox Devil. So a few moments later, some time has passed for the characters in the show, but we see Denji wake up in the hospital bed. We see he has his arm reattached because Aki's like, I found that for you. And you really are just like a devil. And I would know because I have a contract with the Fox Devil. And he explains how that works and that in order for the Fox Devil to help in the way that it's been able to, he has to offer parts of his body in exchange. So he says, like, this time it was a little bit of skin from my arm. Like, that seems kind of like I want to say a small exchange, but it's not. It's like you really have to give something of yourself. So I thought it was an odd exchange in the moment, but then I thought about it more. I'm like, maybe it's not really that weird in this world that we've established. I don't know. Aki is very suspicious of devils, even though he has one himself. And so he, therefore, is suspicious of Denji letting power get away with trying to trick him. But he's like, I'll let it slide this time if you agree to a deal that you're going to listen and obey me. Do you think that this contract that Aki is offering Denji is better than Denji's agreement with Makima?
Yeah, I think what the show does really well is shows like power of control and like obedience. And I think there's a lot of like themes in that. So I think this is really interesting that he is like, you will listen to me. And I think, yeah, because I think if you're looking at it from like an authoritarian standpoint, that, you know, this is a forgiving ruler, if you will, to the extent of he's like letting this transgression go of like, yeah, I know that the Bat Devil and Power were working together and trying to kill you, but like you're still not doing anything about it. So like, we'll just let this slide for right now. And then also he's cutting up an apple for him at the same time, which I thought was really interesting as well. So like, he does seem to be somewhat concerned about his well-being. So I think there is a little bit more sustenance behind Aki than there is in Makima.
I think Aki is a little bit more straightforward with it rather than Makima feels very like, what are her true intentions? We don't really know. You know, Aki, it's interesting because he doesn't trust Denji because he's a devil, and yet Aki is the first person we see that has a contract with the devil. But then he's like, well, I'll make a contract with this devil too. So he's a little bit, I don't know. I wouldn't say that's like hypocritical of him, but I would just say like, I feel like he would be a little bit more okay with Denji just because he already is in a contract with the devil. But also at the same time, the contract that he's in, he has to literally give like pieces of his skin or whatever to him or to the devil. So I think his contract is a little better because I think he actually has true intent to at least, he just has true intent. He just wants Denji to not be a bad devil, essentially.
I agree. There's something that's more genuine in these first interactions that doesn't make me feel suspicious of Aki at this moment, the way that I'm like, something's weird about Makima, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Just something's unsettling. And it's probably because we've seen Aki act more human so far. He's gotten into fights with Denji already. He has had to host him at his like very normal apartment. And so maybe it's like those little glimpses that make us love him. But we'll get some more time with him for sure. But right now, Aki has to leave Denji in the hospital, and he goes to report to Makima on what happened. In his reporting, he ends with the note, that they didn't find any remnants of the gun devil in either the bat or the leech devil's heads. And I thought that this was an interesting way to end the dialogue, because this is the first time we're hearing of this gun devil. And so I want to harken back to what Makima said at the beginning of the last episode about devils being scarier depending on what they're associated with. So thinking about that, imagining a gun devil, what do you think is up with this?
Oh, absolutely horrifying. Especially for us who live in America, you know, I feel like putting ourselves in the shoes of the people in the show and the people who are creating the show are Japanese, like, you have to wonder what their views when they don't have gun violence like we do, but it still would be such a scary thing to think about, even in a world where, like, in real life, they don't really have, like, there is an issue, but it doesn't happen as often as it does here. So it's terrifying. It's a terrifying thought of seeing these devils where it's like they can make pretty much anything out of whatever whatever they represent and have it be a gun. Terrifying. I would move out of the country if it had to stay confined there. I'd be like...
Hannah already kind of touched on it, but like, if you're thinking about how much something is feared and the greater its strength becomes, I mean, America's a hot spot for it. Like, there's just, like, like I said earlier, like, there's that mass hysteria of, like, fear, which is unfortunately rightfully backed in certain instances when you have, like, these really powerful things that are in the wrong hands and so accessible. Like, this is definitely something in the show, at least, that is, like, causing a lot of pain and gives it a lot of power, because there is power in fear.
As soon as they said that, I think especially for American audiences watching it, it was like, oh, I don't know. I'll try to not share my personal feelings on the topic too much, but there's no doubting that it is a very prevalent topic and recurring and frequent. And so it's interesting that this seemingly very large and difficult to hunt down or work out something about devil is the one that Makima and Aki are discussing and presumably looking for, trying to track down. And it's elusive, and it's probably the worst one, at least that we've encountered so far. So it's interesting. Like, who or what could fight something like that if their abilities are anything like the abilities of the other devils that we've seen so far? Thinking about that is very frightening, but it seems like we're going to have to wait a little bit to learn some more about this unseen devil. And actually, the next sequence is kind of completely the opposite. I think it's really cute and really sweet. I really love this little montage of Aki's slice of life moment. He's having his Studio Ghibli food moment. He is making himself a coffee. He's having like a calm cigarette outside on the patio. I love him being a dad. But now, even though he was already trying to play single father to Denji, he is a father of two, because Power busts down the door of his apartment. And I love that she's just immediately like a little kid that he has to parent. He's like, you have to flush the toilet. You have to eat your vegetables. You have to take a bath. And he's like, not that much older than them, but they are going to make him rip that ponytail right out of his head.
It's like Inosuke entered the chat, quite literally. This is just already rough, and it's nice to kind of see that Denji is like at least somewhat on Aki's side, like, cool yourself a little bit. Like, it seems like Denji kind of sides with Aki here, just because there's still this like contrast between the two of them, like where Denji is somewhat normalized, Power has like no construct looking anywhere, like, or no social construct. So it's just really interesting to see like how like different these two are, yet how similar they are to each other.
First of all, I remember, and I didn't see Chainsaw Man probably till a couple months after it finished, but I remember the internet blowing up, calling Aki, what did they say? Like, Aki's housewife moment. Like, he was in the house husband anime, it was Chainsaw Man. And it was a fun little, like, moment. And I guess that was all anime original, too. They were like, yeah, we know you all love Aki, so we're gonna just give him a moment. But Power showing up, interesting. Interestingly enough, I like how Denji is like all of a sudden all on Aki's side too and is like backing him up. I think it's partially because Denji has learned a little bit. It's been, you know, I don't know how long since he started living with Aki, but he's starting to understand how it works. And then like Power comes in and is just like 10 times worse than he was when like he showed up. So he's like, wait a second. But it's also funny because I'm sure Aki's kind of like, you were just like that like 5 days ago. Like, chill out. And I can handle this. It's really funny.
Oh, yeah. I completely got the vibe that Denji was trying to be like the older sibling that's like, yeah, like mom said to do this. Why don't you know that you need to be? And and Aki's just like, he's like just once again having his Ben Affleck cigarette moment. Because these two are driving him nuts. And he, I love, like, he gets on the phone. He's like, why are you sending all these crazy people to my house? And she's like, because I trust you the most. She's so good at manipulating people. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, for you, I could be a single dad. Incredible. Oh, but you should not leave the kids together alone, because the episode comes to an end with, like, and honestly, this scene is so nasty to me. Denji's, like, scrubbing the toilet that she didn't flush, and that's, like, all that I could think about this entire time. I'm like, it probably fucking stinks in there. Like, this is, like, so insane, so unhinged. But she comes into the bathroom, and she's offering up her feminine goods to Denji again, with a couple caveats and a couple rules. She tells him he's entitled to 3 magic squeezes, exactly, and she sits down on the disgusting toilet. But from Denji's POV, again, this is like, even though this is insane and ridiculous, it's like drawn in such a cinematic way because it's his POV. And to him, he's like, she's a goddess. Even though he was just bitching about cleaning up the nasty bathroom that she left. He's like, this is incredible. I can't believe I'm going to achieve my dream. There's a lot going on.
Oh, this was when I was watching the show the first time and I was like, am I gonna keep going with this show? It's so unhinged. What is happening? I mean, good for Denji. He's about to get his dream, but under what circumstances is this okay? Like, I was thinking the same thing too. I was like, this bathroom is probably still, like, he's been cleaning it, but it's probably still disgustingly nasty, like, dirty, smelly. And she just, like, sits on the toilet, closes it, and is like, all right, you get 3, which was nice of her. She even lined out why he gets the 3. But, man. Oh, man. And he's just like, this is the best day of my life. Dirty bathroom. Like, I mean, again, reminding us anything is good to him that's not living in a shack with no food, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it really, like, frames who Denji is, that, like, even in, like, these shitty moments, there's still something good there.
Not the banumch.
Literally. But I mean, Power is on a throne here as well. And so it's really like, what else could he be asking for? And I think like this grungy side of like humanity is like unexplored. But I think it's really interesting to kind of watch Denji try and like achieve his dream. He deserves it, right? After digging up 2 devils that were pretty tough, or at least getting knocked down and then getting back up again.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. Yeah, this, I don't know. I don't know if there's much else to add, but this scene is so unhinged. And I think part of it is that, like, he's built it up to be this big thing. And what actually seems to be happening is kind of underwhelming in that he's built it up. And clearly he doesn't feel that way, but for us as the audience too, it's like, if there's any possibility that he's seeking, like, what he's really seeking is intimacy, and like, maybe he feels like he's gonna find that by squeezing on some boobies, there's like nothing intimate about this scene at all. Like, it's gross, it's rank, it's like very base. Like, there's no attraction between them, aside from the fact that like, she has a pair of knockers, she happens to have like a female form, but I'm like, they're not attracted to each other at all, so it's like, is it even gonna be what he built it up to be? I'll have to find out next week. In the meantime, we get a second ending sequence that I also really liked. This one was highly featuring Power. I loved the like very pop art design of the visuals here. It was like very Roy Lichtenstein style with like all the little dots, like very traditional, and like a very electronic pop sounding song to go along with it, which I thought was fun for Power.
Yeah, no, I thought that like a Power episode would definitely look something like this for her ending, just because it looked like you saw that she was the Thor Love and Thunder poster in the intro. So like it definitely bore a Power outro would definitely look something like this.
I once again did not watch it.
That's okay. Next week. Next week and a roundup at the end, I think. All right. Well, then I will go first with favorite moments. And I'm sorry, it's pretty obvious, but it's got to be Aki showing up with Cone in that moment with a secondary shout out to his little slice of life and his few moments of peace that he's going to get probably in the entire show and never again. I love that for him.
I was going to also say Cone because, as I mentioned before, it's the best part of the show so far. Since you already said it, though, I will also say just getting Power's backstory with the cat, like everything with her, like finding this connection with just little cat, just partly because pets and cats in general, I'm like, oh, like it makes my heart go like flutter, you know, because it's so cute. But just seeing her have this very special connection with a cat that she was planning to eat when she first met him, I thought was really sweet.
Yeah, my favorite moment from these two episodes is definitely gonna be the dream battle moment. Like I said, this is what turned the show around for me, like made it worth watching. And so I really felt that Denji as an MC kind of stepped up in my ranking when he said that, just because it showed me that like he can still be serious to a certain extent, like that there's some like something like some gravitas behind him, if you will. And so there's like not just all of this fluff, which I think is hard to pull off. It's hard to pull off like these grungy characters like Denji, who are not exactly your typical shonen MC, but also like giving them something that is like somewhat shonen typical, if that makes sense.
Totally. Good moments. Looking forward to more. Having watched the show before, I am definitely looking forward to some of what's coming up now soon. But it's been great, and it's been gory, and it's been wild so far, and I think we have more of that to look forward to. So we will come back next time with episodes 5 and 6. For now, that's all the time we have for today. So we hope you enjoyed and that you'll come back next week to hear a little bit more about Denji and crew. If you have liked what you've heard, please don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell on YouTube or download the podcast and follow us on Spotify. If you liked it, we always welcome any ratings that you'd like to give. That helps other people find us a little bit more easily. You can also give us a follow on TikTok and Instagram. We are at Hashira Half Hour, and we are also on X at Hashira Half. Until next week, Cone.
Cone.
Cone.